Galatians 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is a law of love. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you bear something for another, you lift it off of them. You carry it for them. And there are some burdens, some traumas, some troubles in people's lives that I can carry for them. There are some ways that I can help them. In the context here, this is talking about the burden of sin. But how can I help you bear the burden of sin with you? And the only way, the chief way would be to pray for you. Now, I might counsel you. You might be open. You know, if you come to me and say, I always use this ridiculous example because people see it, I'm thinking about committing adultery. Okay, I can help you with that. I have to know what God says about that. And prayer is duplicating the mind of the Lord, is saying what God would say. Thank God we have the Holy Ghost on the inside and the guidance of the Word. Bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Now, well, I have time, talent, and treasure. And I might could give you a certain portion of my time, but maybe not all the time you need. I may have enough treasure, financial ability to help you once or twice, but maybe not to help you permanently. I may not have any the talent that you need to help you on a regular basis, but what I know I can do for you is to pray. I do. I'm conscious. We're all conscious of when the Lord would elbow us in the spirit and would have us to give him an amount of money or to bake a cake or to babysit or take you to the doctor or just to listen to you. You know how I do. I go, uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. I have to be careful because one lady thought I was consenting to some things I wasn't consenting to, so I'm changing my uh-huhs just slightly. But I'm listening very carefully, and I can do that for you. I can listen. But the one thing I know that will work, in spite of the time I have, the amount of money and financial ability I have or the talent I have, is to pray for you and to bear your burden to the Father, to carry it to the Father, to lift it off of you. The word intercession means to carry the load of another. It means to stand in the place of another. And I'm laying, once again, these last 2 weeks, the foundation so I can talk to you about intercession, very important, which we will get to next week, I believe. But look at this. Bear you one another's burdens. Now, let me read you the Message Bible. In the light. Let me see where it is. You know, the Message doesn't have numbers. Share their burden, and so complete Christ's law. If you think you're too good for that, you're badly deceived. The translators are all very graphic about our responsibility. Let me read you from the New Living. Share each other's trouble and problem, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone in need, you're only fooling yourself. You really nobody. Now, I didn't write those. I'm just reading them. But I want you to see how the translators pick up on the importance of meeting one another's needs, especially in the body of Christ. And Galatians says to help one another, especially those of the household of faith. We have a responsibility to one another, to watch over one another, to see if there's something we can do for one another. And we're prompted by the Spirit. Now, some things are obvious. One lady came to us and said that she was very ill at the time and she needed a certain amount of help. She needed daily help. So we set it up for a week. Everybody took a day to go in the morning, one day to transport her to the hospital, fix her lunch and so forth. And it was obvious after the second day that we didn't have the ability to help her because she was no longer able to get out of bed and dress herself. And we didn't realize she was that infirm when she called. And when you send a little 120-pound lady to lift a 180-pound lady out of bed and dress her, you've overdone their capacity, see. So there's some things I can't do for you, and there's some things we couldn't do for her. And we had to say we're very, very sorry. We were willing, but we don't feel like our ladies are able to take that responsibility. Well, one lady heard in advance. She went and took her husband with her to help, and he did help lift her in the car and take her to the doctor and so forth. But we found that it was beyond our capacity. A lot of things are beyond my ability. They're beyond my physical strength. They're beyond my financial ability. And sometimes they're just beyond my wisdom and knowledge. I mean, I just don't know. But one thing I do know is how to help you and bear your burden in prayer. And it's important. You know, my stomach's important to my liver. My liver's important to my colon and intestines, and all of my body parts work together. And we are a body of Christ joined to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we all work together. And we are to notice, and the only way we can notice is by the Spirit, what the other person needs. Now, some things are obvious. If I see you limping along, I say, hey, did you hurt your knee? Hurt your leg? And then I said, well, let me pray for your leg. It's just obvious. There's no really strong unction there. I'm just alert. I see you're limping, and I see I can help you. And those kind of things happen all the time, and we're glad to do that. And then we pray from our understanding. We just pray because we know prayer is of value. We know prayer is the one thing I can share with you and give to you and do for you. And I'm praying mental prayers, intellectual prayers, or scriptures, praying with my understanding. And I'm just saying, Father, heal this knee, this leg, in Jesus' mighty name. You are her healer. We agree together that this leg is healed, and that every vestige of sickness and disease and disorder in this leg dissipates, disappears, and ceases to exist. There's no divine unction in that necessarily. I just said that because I know that's the right thing to say, and I know it works. And praying with the understanding works. But the problem with praying in your understanding, it's like being of physical help, being of financial help. Sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes what you can do is not enough. And sometimes praying in your understanding. We're going to pray for one another. We're a body. The scripture says, rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. It means I'm alert. If I'm going to weep with those that weep, I'm alert. I'm watching to see that you are troubled, that you need some help. And I'm going to join you because we're a body. Well, look at 1 Corinthians and let's look at the responsibility of the body, one another. And the fact that we're joined to the head and that we're going to help one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. The body is not one member, but many. Well, that's the truth of your physical body. It's true of the body of Christ. The foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore out of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? That means that every single part of your body is important to you. What part of your body do you want to sacrifice? Not even your appendix. You don't want to make any sacrifices. You want your whole body to function all the days of your life. And the body of Christ is to function together. And the only way we can adequately function together is to yield to one another's need, is to help one another in whatever way we can be, a physical, a mental help, and then to bring that need, carry that need to the Father in prayer. You know, if your stomach needs help, you don't say, you know, I'm going to have time to help you today. Do you? Or if your toe hurts, you're thinking, ooh, I better get my best shoes or wear my sandals. You cater to all parts of your body. You want them all working. One part's not working. You're paying close attention to see what remedy, what you can bring to that part of the body to help it. And that's what we're doing. Now look at Ephesians 6:18. We're a body and we function together. And we care for one another. We watch over one another. And we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. There are some things I can do for you. There's things I'm supposed to do for you. Ephesians 6, very familiar verse, but very profound. And it uses this word watch, which is important. Praying always with all prayer, all kinds of prayer, and supplication, which is making requests in the Spirit. Making prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching there into our watching in the Spirit with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm watching in the Spirit. I'm watching as prompted by the Spirit. I'm going to pray for you, do for you, and help you as the Spirit prompts me. And that's the only way we can be adequate, the only way we can do the right thing. You know you have to do the right thing at the right time, at the right place. There's no way we can get all that right. That we can be, you know, you have the right time, but the wrong place. Or the right thing, but the wrong time. I cautioned a fellow the other day. He looked at me like he couldn't believe that. Never had occurred to him. But you have to follow the Spirit of God. And what you do has to be done by prompting of the Spirit. Now, there are those things, again, I want to mention. That doesn't mean if you're not prompted, you're going to ignore somebody that's limping. If you're not prompted and the fella in the grocery store is $5 short of paying his bill, that you're just going to ignore that because you don't feel a prompting. No, you're a Christian. You're God's kid. Go ahead and give him a $5 bill. You've got one. Look at 1 John and let's confirm this. Not everything requires divine unction. But if we're going to function at maximum capacity, 1 John chapter 3, it's because we're listening to the Spirit. We're watching in the Spirit. Wayne and I were in the grocery store, and the man ahead of us didn't have enough money to pay his bill. But he didn't have any money at all. He had a little kid with him, maybe 10, 11, 12. And he said to him when she tallied up the bill, it was just less than $40. He said, son, give me the money. And he handed him a $20 bill. And he said, you have to give him both $20 bills. He said, Daddy, I didn't have but one $20 bill. It was clear that the son had mowed the lawn or done something, earned a little money, and they were going to use his money to buy food. Well, I looked at the food, breakthrough, see what we're paying for here. Because some things I'm not paying for. And so I looked, and it was all good, all well. And he started looking to see what he could put back. And I said to Wayne, he's behind me checking out the candy rack, you know. And I said, give me a 20. He said, I'm not going to pay with this 20. I said, give me that 20. I said, we'll pay for the rest of this man's groceries. I'm whispering. And he said, why? I said, because we're Christians. He said, oh, right, yeah. Got his mind on the candy. But we didn't have any divine unction. We didn't have any two goosebumps in a row. It was just the right thing to do. It was just the thing we could do. It was the right thing to do. There's some things that are obvious. If you wait on an unction, you're going to miss some things. On the other hand, if you're going to function efficiently, you have to have the unction. You have to have the Spirit of God. Verse 17, whosoever hath this world's good and sees his brother have a need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? You know, I see you have a need. I know you have a need. And it says I have enough to meet that need, but I'm not going to do it. So then you don't love as God loved. The love of God is in your heart. It's in your spirit. It's in your inner man. It came there the day you were born again, but it's a fruit, and it grows. And the more you practice love, the more you let love dominate you, the stronger that love is. And Scripture says we're to abound in love. We're to overflow in love. One translation says love's to splash over. And you talk to people, they're just a joy to talk to. You just feel encouraged when they finish talking to you. And that's the way it is with Christians. We should be encouragers of one another, but we're going to be alert to watch over. We're going to do what we see to do, do what we know to do, do what we can do. But then we're going to watch in the Spirit and look at Colossians 4. If there's something else I can do, if I'm prompted by the Spirit to do something. I was at lunch with a group of ladies, and one lady mentioned her daughter had a need. And she said that they were believing God, somebody would help them with that need. And I thought, you know, that's right. I knew it was right. I said, you know, somebody really should do that for her. I never gave another thought. But I went to praying in the Spirit. Thank God for the prompting of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Thank God he knows. It says all things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's in Hebrews chapter 4. And God who sees all things saw that Wayne and I were the one to meet that need, but I didn't see it. And the next day it dawned on me, and I thought, phew, that's going to cost over $1,000, maybe $1,500. I've never done anything like that in my life. Don't really have the capacity to do that. I mean, if you ask me, can I do that? I said, no, I can't do that. But every time I went to prayer, I was stirred. See, God, Almighty God, on the inside, knows what he can orchestrate through you and lead you so that you will yield to him. Well, 2 or 3 days later, I mentioned it to Wayne. I told him about the lunch, told him about the need, told him I felt prompted. I thought he'd say, Mickey, we can't do that. He said, all right, we'll do it. Now, he didn't know how we're going to do it, and I don't know how we're going to do it. But we put out some feelers. It required coordination, and we coordinated some things, and just fell upon a deal for $325, I believe it was. It was a miracle. I can't tell you what a miracle it was. And the fact that Wayne can repair things and fix things was to our advantage. And so we were able to do that and deliver it to her. Now, because this is me and this is the way I function, she doesn't know where it came from to this day. She doesn't have any idea where it came from. And her mother calls, you will never guess what happened. I said, what? I just went right on. But we were able to see God saw. I didn't see that I could do that. I wasn't even thinking about doing it. But I began prompted by the Spirit. There's someone on the inside that began stirring me. Well, sometimes he stirs you to do physical things. He stirs you to visit somebody, to take something to somebody. But often, he stirs you to pray. Prayer is the one thing you can offer to everybody that's not going to cost you anything but time. It's a wonderful thing. I had Suzanne with me one day, and I thought she needed to be encouraged, and she used to raise dogs. She raised dogs for a decade. There were always puppies, you know, like old McDonald's farm, here a dog, there a dog, everywhere a dog, dog. And I said, you know what? I'm going to call so-and-so. She raises dogs. Let's see if she's home today. Let me run you by there and let's check out her puppies. She said, okay. And I called her and I said, oh, I'd love for you to come. And we went. I didn't have any idea it was Holy Ghost set up. I didn't. And when I knocked on the door and she opened the door, there was a little bitty cross by the front door, a little bitty one. And she had buried her favorite dog there. I didn't know anything had gone on. And I certainly could have been me wouldn't buried my favorite dog by the front door. But okay, that wasn't my choice. And she stepped out of the door and she cried and started crying. I said, how'd you know? How'd you know? I didn't know anything. I thought I was helping Suzanne. All this time, I was helping this lady. And I was able, because I love dogs, and I had great empathy for her. And we were raised to, we had dogs in the house for 30 years. We've been delivered, and we're glad for that. But It's just a heck of a lot cheaper not to have your dog and not have to hire a sitter when you go out of town with your dog. I don't know if you've ever hired a dog sitter or not, but it's not cheap. And then you have to believe that they'll do for your dog what you would do. Dog people are nervous about their dogs. That's the truth. That's just the truth. So I've been delivered. And so we were able to help her and pray with her. But it was an unconscious leading of the Spirit. See, God knows where you should be and what you should do. Oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Bear ye one another's burdens. Now look at Romans chapter 15. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same. In other words, watch in prayer. Watch in prayer. Watch in prayer. Watch in prayer. Why? Because there's something you can do. There's something you can say. Chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. And there's certainly, if there's nothing you can do and nothing you can say, you certainly can bow your knees and pray. It's a wonderful thing. I brought my 8th translation today. Romans 15, contemporary parallel New Testament. That's what this is. And I'm going to flip over there because I want you to see. The King James says, we that are strong ought to bear. You see ought to? What does ought to mean to you? You're a southerner. That's a southern expression. You should do this. This is what you should do. Ought to bear the infirmity. Bear. There's that word. Bear, carry, lift off, remove the infirmities of the weak. Infirmity is not necessarily a disease. It's any weakness. It really means the inability to produce results. It's anything that you can't get to work out for you. Ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please, not to what? You know, that's the I don't want to, I don't really have time, I don't feel good today. That's all the excuses we make. Everybody's been there, so nobody's pointing their finger at anybody. Every one of us, how many? Please his neighbor for his good or for the good of his neighbor. To edify or strengthen or build up his neighbor. For even Christ pleased not himself. If Christ had come to please himself, he certainly wouldn't have died on the cross. He certainly wouldn't have taken sins. But he came because he loved us, and he came to take our sins. In other words, he came to bear our burden. And that's the heart of intercession. I will get to that next week. But let me read you. There are those who are strong and able in faith. There are those and not able in faith to step in and lend a hand. Well, whatever. If you knew how hard it was to see up in this light. Those of us who are strong, thank you, and able in faith to step in and lend a hand to those who are faltering and not just to do what's convenient for us. This is my favorite part. Strength is for service, not status. Strength is for what?
Service.
Ability is for what? It's for service. Each of us needs to look after the good of other people around us. Asking ourselves, how can I help? And if I ask myself how I can help, sometimes prayer is all I can do. But it's the most important thing I can do, is to pray. Now look at Philippians chapter 2. There's not too many people, that's why we have to go over this in such detail, that are willing to put themselves out for another. And yet that's the heart of the scripture. Is if it inconveniences me but it helps you, I'm going to do it. Those things that are obvious that I just can do because I have the time, talent, or financial ability, especially those things that I'm prompted to do by the Spirit. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Let what? Each esteem, when you esteem something, you value them. In other words, your need is more important to me than my need. I'd rather, you know, and we're that way with our children. We just don't extend it too far beyond that. If I can help my children, if it inconveniences me, you know, or if it costs me more money than I thought it would, you do that for your children, you do that for your grandchildren. And you're not so concerned about yourself. You would table yourself in order to be of value to them. You'd put on your shoes when you were so tired you couldn't even know if you were safe to drive to go help one of your children. My niece called. She's a college student here. She's married this year, and she lives in Daddy's house. And she calls. You can tell by the tone of her voice. Hey, Becky. You know, my first response is, oh, no. Because we don't like being inconvenienced. We don't want somebody to call me when I'm not ready to help you. Call me at 10 o'clock. I can help you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. You know, it never happens that way. I mean, it just never happens that way. And I said, what is it, Kimberly? And so we were able to solve that problem. Oh, thank God that she reached out for help. Well, we're more inclined if somebody asks for help. We're less inclined to say, no, I'm sorry. Maybe Mabel will do it for you. But just to be prompted by the Spirit, not put that on the shelf. Well, what am I going to be prompted, first of all, to do? To watch in prayer, to meet your need in prayer, to see in prayer that you have a need. Now, it may not look to me like you have any need. I may be prompted to pay for you, and you look like you're functioning fine. You look like all is well. Years ago now, my brother was a college student in Dallas, Texas, and on a weekend, like a Thursday or Friday, I had a prompting to pray for him. He's doing fine. I'm talking to him on the phone. He's studying. He has two part-time jobs, or one or two part-time jobs, and he's doing well. He's making fairly good grades, and he has enough money to feed himself and pay his rent. You know, everything's fine. Everything's really fine. There's no need for prayer. Everything's really fine, but I was prompted to pray. See, it's not what you know. It's what God knows. We're going to duplicate the mind of the Lord. We're going to say what God would say. We're going to yield to heaven. Well, I prayed, and over the weekend, the more I prayed, the more I know he's going to die. I mean, I know that. I called my friend on Monday because I couldn't pray through by myself. Pray through is you pray about people. Whatever you're prompted to do, you pray until you're satisfied, until you're relieved. And no matter how hard I pray, I was never relieved. So she said, being a denominational person like I was, she said, the denominations teach a lot of times that you die to self. But you don't die to self. You die to the flesh. Self is the spirit, man. The spirit's supposed to grow up in God. I said, no, that's not it. This is physical death. And so we prayed. We prayed till after lunch that day, about 1 o'clock. I had relief in my spirit. I know, oh, we got it. It's okay, we got it. Now, why didn't you prevent the accident? He was in a car accident the next day. I don't know. You can't stop some things. It's like a train going 100 miles an hour. You can't stop some things. But you can get the people off the track. And that's all we did. Lady, I ran a stop sign and broadside him on the driver's side. They had to pry him out, but he was fine. My mother called the next afternoon and said, you never guess what happened to Philip. She said, first of all, I'm going to tell you he's fine. Well, I don't worry like the rest of my family does, so I wasn't worried. But I had prayed too. See, God prompted me to pray when I knew nothing. I didn't see anything. Everything appeared to be fine. And so Daddy bought, I never will forget it, this little red car and drove it out to Texas to give it to him. Philip hated that little car from the get-go. He drove it for several years so he could do better, but he didn't like that little car. But Daddy was working sick to meet his need on his financial capacity. Well, Daddy's financial capacity didn't buy the car that Philip would have preferred as a college student to drive. You understand how I said that? But it did meet the need. Financial capacity is not always adequate. Now, sometimes my wisdom, somebody will ask me about something, I just don't know. This is what do you think I ought to do? And I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't have a clue. Oh, but I know him who knows. All things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And I know him. One lady came to me about her son. He's going to court, and she rattled on about this, that, and the other. And I assumed that we're going to pray that, you know, that the attorney would represent him well and that they would all see his innocence and so forth and so on. And when she gets to the end of her long story, she says, oh, yeah, and he's guilty. I was new at prayer, brand new in Pentecost. I didn't have a clue what to do, not a clue. And I prayed. See if we're watching. And I'm only watching because she came to me. I wouldn't have probably stumbled over that in prayer. She worked with Wayne. And I prayed, and I'm praying away. See, the Holy Ghost is on the inside. He knows we're going to duplicate. If not for the Holy Ghost, we cannot duplicate the mind of the Lord. It's only by the Word. We talked last week about praying the Word. It's only by praying the Word and praying by the Spirit that we can duplicate the mind of the Lord. And I'm praying away in other tongues because I don't know what else to do. There are actually four arenas of prayer. One is with your understanding. That's mental praying. That's intellectual praying. Two is in the spirit. But in the spirit, we also pray in English or in our known tongue. We pray in unknown tongue. It's actually only three of these. And we pray with groanings. It is only by the Spirit of the living God that we get to the place where we need to be. Now, when I pray with my understanding, I pray because I know the situation. I know what the Scripture says. I know what God would want. But I didn't know that day, and I'm praying. I had to skip my understanding because I didn't have any, though I knew the situation now, she told me. And I couldn't pray. There was no unction. See, this is different. The praying in your understanding, mental praying, intellectual praying, is different than praying in English in the Spirit. That's English granted by the Spirit. It's what you hear today, all these words I rattle out is prompted by the Spirit. You see, and there's a prompting to pray. You go to pray, and suddenly the words are just there, and they just flow out like a flood. I didn't have any of that. So I went to other tongues. As I went to other tongues, sometimes in other tongues, it takes you to the conclusion in English and brings you back to the English, which is exactly what happened that day. And I'm praying, have mercy, God. Mercy. Have mercy. And I realized that was God's solution. That was duplicating the mind of the Lord. That's what God wanted for him that day was mercy. And that's exactly, it was unreal. It was unreal. They sent him on without a jail sentence. It was the mercy, the favor of God. God did exceedingly, abundantly above. You just can't imagine. I've seen that happen in courtroom twice. It's absolutely startling. See, it's no secret what God can do. He can do all things. All things are possible to him that believe. I didn't know to pray for mercy. Not everybody that commits a crime needs mercy. In fact, not too many. That's my theory. Not too many. But God saw that this boy needed mercy this time, and he figured out how to do that. But he did that on the wings of our praying. He did that because we joined Mom in prayer. Now, Mama was begging God, I'm sure she was, for her baby. I understand that. I prayed in faith. I believed, and I believed the mercy of God would come. Well, see, we can pray with our understanding. We can pray about what we know. But then we're prompted by the Spirit. We're led of the Spirit. And sometimes the Spirit just opens up the door of the known language. And you pray by prompting, not from your intellect, but from your spirit. And sometimes there's no unction. This is unction. This is what God is doing in you, what God is doing through. This is what you can do because you have knowledge. This is what God is going to do as you yield to him. And you pray by unction. You pray in English. That doesn't always happen. You pray in unknown tongues. You can always do that. But you pray until you're satisfied. I can pray. I can know the situation, know what to do, and pray the scripture. I said, Lord, heal those knees in Jesus' mighty name. You're her healer. She believes that. I believe that. And I thank you that this disease ceases and desists to operate in these knees, and her knees come to themselves, and she functions the rest of her life with healed knees. I just said that because I know how to say that. But sometimes on the inside, I've prayed in my understanding, I'm not satisfied. That was right. That was good. That was in order. I'm just not happy with that. It's just not enough. See, maybe she's facing some surgery, or maybe she's facing some medication she doesn't know where to take. Or maybe she's trying to choose a doctor and are deciding she needs to go to a doctor. See, there's something else there that she didn't say that I don't know. And you can tell that by the Spirit. There's something happening that praying that prayer that she be healed was good. It was right. It was orderly, but it was insufficient. And see, you know that in the Spirit. Well, then I go to the Spirit, and I have to go to other tongues if I don't have any prompting in English. And you'll notice, look at 1 Corinthians 14. Let me show you something. Philippians 2, we read, let each esteem others. Value others. I'm concerned about you. How can I help you? I'm watching over you. You're more important to me. Your need is important to me. First Corinthians 14. I don't think this is an accident. Verse 14, 15. I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Do you notice what's first? It's the Spirit. Spirit's always first. And when I pray in the Spirit, just like that day I prayed for that boy that was guilty, then I had understanding to pray in English and to pray for mercy. And I think the Spirit is listed there first on purpose because most usually we don't really know how to pray. But if we've been to pray in other tongues, then we have knowledge of what to say in English often. Often, not always, but often. You know, sometimes God doesn't say anything to you, and you'll let me say this politely to you because it's none of your business. Is that all right if I said that to you? You know, we're real curious, especially if we pray about something, what's happening, what they need, what's going on in their life, and we're inclined to do some digging, excavating. Don't do that unless God sends you. Just pray and leave it at the footstep, the door of God. This is how we pray in the Spirit. Well, how can you pray in the Spirit? You can pray in the known language, English. You can pray in the unknown language. Or you can pray with groanings. And all of that's led by the Spirit. And all of it comes, the minute you're satisfied with what you said, you can quit. It's not we do one, and then we do two, and then we do three, and then we do four. It's not a procedure. It's a leading of the Spirit. And sometimes the Spirit of God leads me directly to groanings. That's when there's no words to say. You just can't say it. You can't say it in English. You can't say it in other tongues. There's just sounds and utterance. Do you know there's sounds of the Spirit? One lady came to a prayer meeting. She's new. She's very young, and she's new. And she came to a prayer meeting. She thought I would be there. And ordinarily I would have been, but I wasn't there that day. And she called the house. She said, I So what is it? She said, I went to prayer meeting today. And I laughed and I said, just give me all the details. And then I knew exactly who she was praying by. I knew it because prayers have the same, you know. You, even with your eyes closed, you know who passes you. That was Pastor. I mean, that was, you know some things. And I said, oh, so-and-so must have been there. And I said, don't let that frighten you. You see, when you groan, the word groaning is also in Scripture the word travail. When you go to the hospital, someone delivering a baby, some take it one way, some take it another way. Some are loud and some are quiet. It doesn't matter. That's up to the person that's praying, up to the prompting they have in their spirit. I got a call early in the morning, about 3 o'clock, a lady that was going to miscarry. Too soon, the baby would not have lived. And her husband called. And so Wayne and I got up and we prayed a while. I felt satisfied with what we had done, but we prayed in other tongues. That's often your best recourse, although not always. Sometimes just claiming the Scripture and standing on the Scripture is more than enough. It's just enough. And you do that, you think, that does it, doesn't it? The Lord, she's $140.12, and you're the one who meets her need out of your riches and glory, and you send that to her, and you send it before the due date, and thanks so much. And my heart's just as happy. There's just nothing else to do. There's no use working at something that doesn't need any more work. You know, I see people clean their house that way. I mean, not you and I, but, well, maybe you, but not me. I look around, I think, that's enough. That's enough. That's satisfactory. It's no use working at something over and over again. Let the Spirit lead you. If He's finished, you're finished. But sometimes you just pray the word and you're finished. You can pray for their strength and that's enough. You can pray that their faith doesn't waver and that's enough. You can pray their love abounds and that's enough. We covered these things last week. You can pray they have wisdom and knowledge. They know what to do and that's enough. Sometimes it's just not enough. It was right. It was good. What you said was good. So you slip to the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. Now sometimes the Spirit's leading you to pray about something that you or something or somebody you don't even know. You don't have a clue. You can't start with your understanding. You don't even know the people involved. And you go to the Spirit. And you pray. And often as you pray in other tongues, often the Lord brings you to prophetic utterance or praying in English prompted by the Spirit. I called on a lady to pray about a situation at a meeting, and she said she would. And she started out. First 3 or 4 or 5 sentences were Scripture. They were excellent. I agreed with everything she said. And then the Holy Ghost fell on her. And she just took off. Just words just flew out of her mouth because she was prompted to pray by the Spirit in English. You listen for that, and you'll begin to know the difference in what somebody's just saying, which is good, and the prompting of the Spirit. But praying in an unknown tongue often brings the prompting of the Spirit. And then there are groanings. Now, I went to the hospital early, about 6 o'clock that morning, to check on this lady. She's quiet as a mouse. I see the monitors. They've stabilized the baby. The monitors are up. Of course, she's not going to be able to get out of bed for 6 months, you understand. But we made it. We made it. We went by several times and watched TV with her. If you think that's what I thought was a good day, I didn't. But we went prompted by the Spirit. We went because it was the right thing to do. We went because the Holy Ghost was in it. And that's what you have to do. I had other things I wanted to do, was sit and watch TV all afternoon. But I was there. And you have to work on your attitude. If you don't do it with the right attitude, look at your neighbor and say, be sure you have the right attitude. You know, to show up and just regret it is not going to profit you. There's going to be a reward that bounces back to you because you're obedient to God, but there's no reward with a bad attitude. You can just write that down. You're going to barricade your reward. And she's not making any sound. I was at the delivery of another. I was actually in the waiting room, and then the lady said, come sit with this lady. And I said, I don't think she'd want that. And they said, we want you to do it. We're asking you to just go in there and sit with her. I said, okay. So I was there, and I went, and I sat, and she never made a sound, not one single sound. You could see the agony in her body. You could see the writhing and the contractions. You could see her teeth gritted, but she never made a sound. The nurse said that they had never seen anybody as quiet as she was ever, so we have never, ever seen that before. See, and sometimes if you come from a denomination, I did that, I'm setting you up. You getting this? Sometimes you come from the denominational church, that's the way I want you to pray. Very, very quietly. I'm more comfortable with quiet. I don't like loud. See, you need to know yourself. Across the hall was a lady screaming at the top of her lungs. I mean, screaming. I want to step out and say, has she had the pain medication that she needed? She obviously didn't. And her relatives, she was very young. Her relatives were standing in the hall. They were laughing. They were giggling and giggling and giggling. I thought, isn't this funny? And the doctor came by and rebuked them and sent them on the ear and moved them out of that place and told them to stay out of here. They weren't of help. I loved him. I don't even know his name, but I loved him. I said, thank you. But groaning comes in different measures and different ways to different people. And if you're sitting by somebody that's doing weird things, don't let that bother you. That's what happened to my friend that day at prayer meeting. The person was doing weird things. And she'd never been. She comes from a denominational church, and weird wasn't good for her. But if you get here, you stay long enough, weird will be okay. She says, what are they doing? I said, I don't have any idea. But I've noticed I can be as weird as, I'm not always weird, but sometimes I can be as weird as the next person. But I'm prompted by the Spirit. The Holy Ghost on the inside is leading us. And at any point, whether I pray in English or pray by English unction of the Spirit or pray in other tongues, at any point that my heart is happy, my heart is satisfied, I quit. That's all I'm supposed to do. Duplicate the mind of the Lord. Now look at pray in the Spirit, pray in the understanding. Both good. Now if you, verse 13. Let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. I always say, Lord, if I'm praying about a situation, prompted to pray about a situation, or sometimes you can just see a situation and you begin to pray. Lord, if there's anything I'm praying that I need to know, would you tell me? See, everything you pray about, you don't need to know. There's a lot of things you don't need to know. You just need to know that. But sometimes it would be helpful if some things you're praying about would be real helpful if you knew, especially if you're praying for your children or for your husband or for your sister or something. There's things that it would help you if you knew, if you understood that. And so I just say, it says, pray that you may interpret. So I always ask. I said, Lord, now I'm going to pray in other tongues here, but if there's anything I should know, I believe you'll give me the interpretation. And often you pray in other tongues, and once again, I say, you bounce back to English in the Spirit, see, and then you know some things and see some things that would be helpful to you. Sometimes just helpful to you in dealing with them, not for you to run to them and say, this is what I know about you. See, sometimes we've overstepped the limit, and if we continually do that, God quits telling us things. If he can't trust you to pray and to handle the situation his way, he'll go around you to the next person. And that's just the truth of it. I think most everybody's had that experience where they said something, went too far, and they wish they hadn't. But it says, pray that you may interpret. Now look at verse 2 of chapter 14. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit. You see that? In the Spirit he speaks mysteries, divine secrets. When you speak a mystery, you're speaking things that you don't know anything about. And you do that in other tongues, but sometimes in English. You say things in English. I say things all the time that I didn't know I was going to say. I didn't even know. Prompted by the Spirit is a teaching. There's a degree of prophecy and a degree of spiritual prompting in English as you teach. And you'll say things. I went and listened to last week's CD, which I don't normally do, because I said something I knew I'd never said before, never thought of before, never heard before that I knew would be important. And what I said that was brand new to me was prayers duplicating the mind of the Lord. That was totally new to me. See, and that's the way it is. Even when you pray, God brings you. But there is always a realm of mystery, some things you don't know, some things God's doing. Now look at Romans chapter 8. I'm hurrying to be on time today. And I'm just talking fast because that's what I do. The stronger the unction, the faster I talk. Sorry. Now look at verse 26, chapter 8. Romans. It says likewise. Now likewise is an important word there. It's given two previous scenarios, and it says the earth groans and travails. The earth, talking about the flowers and the earth and the dirt. And you remember the earth was cursed after Adam's sin. And so the earth is groaning, it says, until the point that that curse is lifted off the earth. You know that day is coming. If you like what you see now, just wait to what you will see. Because what you see grows under the curse. Amazing, isn't it? And so there's a groaning. It talks about we groan within ourselves waiting for the redemption of our body, waiting for the perfection till the body's incorruptible and non-decaying, non-perishing. The older you get, the more you groan over that. The more you'd like a body that you didn't have to believe God all the time for this, that, and the other. I understand that, waiting for the redemption. So talking about the earth groaning to be changed. See, there's coming a day when the earth is changed. Talking about this body groaning because there's coming a day when it's going to be changed. It says we're going to groan, prompted by the Spirit, so that we can bring change to somebody else's life. It's a groaning for change. It's a travail for change, sometimes loud, sometimes soft. It's making a difference. I can often, in the night if it comes to me, I can lay there and put my head in the pillow and pray, and Wayne's a pretty sound sleeper, and he wouldn't even know I'm praying. But sometimes I realize I'm fixing to explode here. I probably should get out of here. And so he can spend it. One of us should be awake tomorrow, and it won't be me. I can see that. But a lot of times I can just pray quietly, put your head in the pillow and go on. Not make enough sound for anybody. And see, that's enough. That's adequate. It's not, God doesn't respond because you were loud enough. He doesn't respond because you prayed long enough. He responded because you had faith in what you were doing. You obeyed and you had faith, and that's how he responds. And so there's a groaning for change. Change in the world. Change in the physical body. You know there's coming a day when this mortal will put on immortality. This corrupt will put on incorruption. Oh, thank God for that day. Every now and then I think, that'd be a good day, Lord. To make a change. But now there's a groaning in the spirit for change. We're praying for change in something that God knows, something that God sees. Whether or not we have a little knowledge, no knowledge at all, it doesn't make any difference at all. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Infirmity is a weakness. It's not necessarily a disease. We know not what we should pray for as well, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's that final step. Most translations say words that cannot be uttered. There are sounds in the Spirit. There's English in the Spirit. There's other tongues in the Spirit. And there are groanings, are sounds of the Spirit. And as you yield to the Spirit, so the Holy Ghost helps us. That means, that in the Greek, it means he takes hold together with us against something. And he's taking hold with me, with my heart, against whatever's in your life. You know, if you're going to move a piano, we have a grand piano. You can't move that thing. Wayne and I can't move that thing. We have piano movers, you know, those little, anyway, they make these things you put on the bottom and they can, we still can't move, we've got to have help. So we want the weight of the piano, we want somebody to come and help us with the weight of the piano, to take hold with us. We're all going to unite together, and that's what the Holy Ghost does. He's not doing it for you, he's taking hold with you. He's letting you have access to his ability and to his knowledge of the situation. And when you have his ability and his knowledge and you yield to him, he helps you to be successful. Now we're going to go over this next week, but I just briefly fly by this, because I'm going to talk about intercession. He that searches the heart knows what's the mind of the Spirit. See, the mind of the Spirit is in agreement with what God has said. And when you yield to the Spirit, you can say what God is saying about a situation, whether you're knowledgeable or not knowledgeable. And then it says, because he makes intercession, he stands in the place of another for the saints according to the will of God. Every word said in the Spirit, every word said in other tongues was exactly what God himself is saying. Exactly. My, my, my. That's great, isn't it? And then we have this verse that's been the most abused verse in Scripture, probably, and we know that all things work together for good. You cannot pull that verse out of its context. It's strictly in the context of those who have prayed by unction of the Spirit and prayed until the Spirit of God releases them. And for those people who have stood in the gap and who have prayed in the Spirit and prayed the divine will of God, prayed beyond their knowledge and let the Spirit of God guide them, for those people, all things are working together for good. And it won't work everywhere. Some people come all the time, they want you to pray about something, some awful situation, and they'll say, you know, we know it'll work together for good. I have news for you. It might not. That verse has a very stringent and strict context. It works together good for praying people. That's the context. And don't stretch it beyond that. It won't work for praying people. And the word love there, for those who love God, is those who are continually and presently always loving God. It doesn't mean those who did love God or those who plan to love God eventually. It works for those who pray the will of God, those who yield to the Spirit until the Spirit says, okay, you got it.